controversial projects. But now they're getting involved on this one in the communities. And Gail, welcome to Bulldog Live. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about who is the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund.
Well, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund is a nonprofit public interest law firm. We were organized about 1995, and the issue at the time that we thought was important was that there weren't enough public interest lawyers to handle like community groups and municipalities that were having problems with a project coming into their community and wanted to stop it from happening. So we thought the best solution would be to open up a law firm and provide this affordable or free consultation services to community groups. We soon found out that that wasn't the whole problem. It wasn't a lack of lawyers. It was actually the structure of law that did not allow communities to say no at the local level. So we began exploring ways to do that. And that's what we do today. Our work today is about establishing a community bill of rights at the municipal level of government that protects the community from projects that would cause harm.
And I know one project, and I think it was written about in the Union Leader recently, Nottingham, with the water bottling company.
That's right. USA Springs Company made a proposal to the planning board, as you had referenced the planning board before, to get a permit to withdraw water. And even though local citizens were very much against this project going forward, the permit was granted. The project was to go forward, but all of the court-related arguing that they had done between the Nottingham Board of Selectmen, the Nottingham Planning Board, the town itself, and the USA Springs Company resulted in the company going into bankruptcy. And so what happened with this company is they're just now emerging from these bankruptcy proceedings. But in the meantime, in 2008, the community passed the Water Rights and Local Self-Government Ordinance, which bans the extraction of water by corporations for profit within the town.
All right. Well, there. And I guess, looking into what some activities that have been going on in some local communities, there has been this talk about self-governing ordinances or rights-based ordinances.
That's right. The rights-based ordinance, as opposed to a regulatory ordinance, a lot of our local ordinances are regulatory in nature. And what mm-hmm. they do is they decide where projects will happen. It's about zoning, right, and regulating
sure.
land use. Those ordinances are not able to ban. What they do is they regulate, you know, maybe the number of trucks per day if it's water extraction.
And they have variances and all that kind of stuff.
That's exactly right. And that all comes under regulatory law, which comes under the permit application that you get through the state. The rights-based ordinances are pulled out from that structure of law. The reason we do that is because under that structure, you can't say no to something. All you can do is zone it or regulate it a little stricter. So what our ordinances do is they cement this into rights so that it's the rights of the community that are elevated to a point where they can actually decide what they want their communities to look like in the next 5, 10, 15, 50 years.
Right. And let's compare a little bit about how this process currently is about the Northern Pass project. As I've pointed out many times, this is going to be decided by, you know, again, not smearing anybody, but this is a bunch of unelected bureaucrats that's going to make the decision on this. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the State Department, the Department of Energy, maybe the President of the United States, but that's that presidential permit that maybe he doesn't even really get to sign from what I've heard. And then we have the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee as well, which is going to be in charge of siting the towers. That's their charge. That's all part of the state regulatory process as well. There's no community involvement in this as far as the way it's set up, because the Site Evaluation Committee says yes, then they follow those rules, don't they?
That's right. In fact, the whole structure of law is something that we run into right away when we try to say no to anything. Doesn't matter what the issue is. When you try to say no to anything at the local level. So what happens here is all of the decision making that we assume we have. We assume ourselves to be a democracy, mm-hmm. and we assume ourselves since the revolution, right, way back in 1776, we assume that we have this local self-governing authority. Yet when we try to exercise it, we're told, no, you can't do that. So in some ways, this is about a nonviolent, so a peaceful, collective, municipal, civil disobedience, saying, we believe we have the rights in our community to make these decisions. In fact, we believe we're the only ones who can make them. And so we create a Bill of Rights to state those rights very clearly and then prohibit out the activities that would violate those rights that we have within that community.
Well, looking at what a lot of the communities did last year on town meeting day, and even a couple of communities followed suit in the months after their town meeting, number of communities took a stand against Northern Pass. They said, we're opposed to this, whether it be through town meeting or through their board of selectmen by special meetings and the like. But that's just not enough to stop the project. They have to assert some powers, either the local governing body or the people themselves.
That's right. Those things we call resolutions. And a resolution is like a wish. It's what you would like to happen in your community, and you voice an opinion on it. It's what we did in Barnstead, New Hampshire in 2005. We passed a resolution saying that we would hope to protect our water in Barnstead. We followed up the following year with a rights-based ordinance. And so in some ways, this is following that same pattern. It's the, I think it was 30 communities or 31 communities that passed resolutions saying, no Northern Pass here. We're opposed to it. And so now some of these communities have come to me and said, we saw that the work you did in Barnstead and Nottingham and elsewhere was able to provide the community with a voice. And so we'd like you to come help us do that on the Northern Pass issue, to assert the rights of the community to say no to this project. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as the discussion has shown in the past, there's now this fear about eminent domain authority being used against yep. people who do not want to relinquish their property rights to this project. So this ordinance goes through and asserts governing authority in all of these different aspects to say, we are the residents, and our opinions, our view of our community, our vision for our community trumps all of the state preemptive authority, the eminent domain authority, the corporate rights, the nature being considered as property, which is taken by the permit, mm-hmm. and this thing called Dillon's Rule, which is this authority that the state can give to your community. They can say, okay, you can do this, or they can say, no, you can't do this. So it's like the state is your parent.
Right, right.
Right? And they can grant you certain privileges, but it's not to do with
the town is like a ward of the state,
yes,
basically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you just brought up something, too. You know, corporate rights, that of course, a lot of people are now paying attention to it, given the Citizens United ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. But also, looking at thinking of how other battles have gone in the past in opposing whatever projects it was by big corporations, and people will sue and they'll go to court, and you know the company has a lot of lawyers. The towns don't have that much money for legal fees. I mean, they don't have infinite resources, so they ask themselves, at what point do we give up? But looking at how what the court will decide is the state regulatory process. Well, they were already issued the permit. They're following those rules. That's the permit, and there's nothing we can do to stop them.
You're exactly right, and that's the language that we hear, is there's nothing you can do to stop them. You have no authority. You're beyond your authority. You're beyond your jurisdiction. Corporate rights is something that invites quite a thorough study. Because with the Citizens United case that you brought up, that wasn't the first time, right,
okay.
that the voting rights, the free speech rights had been extended to corporations. They've been doing this for a very long time. And so the Citizens United case focused down on giving donations, right, and having mm-hmm. those donations be allowed to be unlimited now
right.
in some way. So that has brought a lot of attention to this issue because so many people responded to that, you know, in a negative way, that how is this fair? But the constitutional protections have been given since the Dartmouth College case in some ways, that's 1819, where the Dartmouth College and the Board of Trustees were granted their protections under the Contracts Clause of the U.S. Constitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so following down that long line, over 100 years now, the corporate form has been wrapped in these constitutional protections. They have First Amendment rights. They have Fourth, Fifth, you know, rights under the Commerce Clause, rights under the Contracts Clause, the 14th Amendment rights. So as we've gone through history, they've acquired more and more protection, and that gives them more and more power to wield the law, even against your local community.
Gotcha. Okay, so it almost seems like corporations have more rights than the communities do.
In situations like this, where the company gets the permit, the presidential permit or whichever mm-hmm. permit, that becomes their property.
Yep.
And so that property protection that they have as a corporation, with all of the constitutional protections that are wrapped around them, give them a lot of force in your community. And because they have more money, as you pointed out, they can argue this in court forever until they win. And so, yes, in some ways, they do have more rights in your community than you do.
All right. Well, Gail Darrell's joining us from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, CELDF.org is the website, and we'll repeat that for people to go visit and also to find out how they can get involved in their own communities in stopping Northern Pass. Looking at the rights-based ordinances that are now becoming a topic of discussion throughout our listening area, how can we be sure that they would work?
And the question really is, how much do we want our communities to be under our control? So many people ask me, so have these ordinances ever been tested? And have they held up in court? And I think, you know, sure, that's an important question for people to consider. But for me, somehow the more important question...
That's what the town lawyers are going to be asking.
That's
yes.
exactly what they ask. The first thing is, has this held up in court? And isn't this unconstitutional? And I have to kind of return that question with another question is, if we find out that we don't have democracy where we live, if we find out that we are not the ones who make the decisions that affect us directly, what are we going to do about that? Are mm-hmm. we fine with that? Are we fine with, you know, corporate America and foreign corporations running over our communities, destroying the land, destroying the nature that we value so much? You know, where are you going to go to get away if there are towers with huge impact on your visual landscape as well as your health in the North Country? There will be no place to get away. So if you're faced with this challenge, what are you willing to do about it? And for a lot of people in communities, they're willing to take this challenge, which says, we believe that we have the inalienable right to govern our own communities, that it is this set of rights that we fought a revolution for in 1776, because the king was doing much the same things that these corporate giants are doing in our communities today. You know, it's the same form of government where our authority, our local authority, is shoved aside, and the state says, we'll decide this for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government says, we'll decide this for you. We'll dictate the energy policy, and you'll follow it. And
the federal government most recently tried to even take the state's authority away over citing these things. The federal government was going to do it until they were caught, and then they pulled back.
Well, that's right, because our system of government is very hierarchical. It's set up that way as a hierarchy with the big guys at the top, right? And mm-hmm. then that sort of governance is supposed to filter down to our little communities where we get to go to hearings.
Yes.
Right? And you talk on the microphone and talk about what you're really passionate about saving in your community. And in reality, nothing you say at that hearing by law must be considered before that decision is made. So what are hearings for? They're just to go vent, and then nothing that you say is taken into that consideration of that decision making. So in some ways, you know, we feel that when you go to a hearing, it's kind of like a train sitting in a train station, mm-hmm. right? You're building up steam, and then you just let the steam out. The train's gone nowhere, and there you sit.
Oh, boy. Well, Gail Darrell, the Democracy School, that's associated with the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund?
Yes.
And that's been held already in New Hampshire, a couple of those.
We have held quite a number since 2005 in New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, and as well through, you know, the whole Northeast, right on down through Pennsylvania. But those are structured to give people an understanding of this law that we always run into when we try to say no to stuff. So we go through that 400-year history of the reenactment of English common law in the United States and how that plays out in your community work today, how it's so much a part of how it's so difficult to protect your community from these kinds of corporate assaults. So we'll be holding democracy schools in New Hampshire. We've had several this year. There'll be another one in Lancaster coming up. If folks want to know the details on that, they're welcome to email me, gail@celdf.org, and I'll give them the details.
Mm-hmm.
And these are called the Daniel Pennock Democracy Schools. That was named for a young boy who died in Pennsylvania after walking through a field where sludge had been applied to farmland. And so in honor of his really of his parents who've been wonderfully involved in our work since this happened to their son, just to sort of bring this education to show people, you know, how to govern their own communities, what it is they're going to run up against, and how to create ways to sort of bring themselves out of that structure and establish some rights within the towns that they live.
And this is important to do, folks, because in the absence of the state of New Hampshire having a comprehensive energy plan on how to deal with these types of issues as they come up, and don't you think Northern Pass is going to be the last of it either of proposed projects. I took my trip down to Georgia the other week, and I drove the whole way. And New Jersey, you see all these power lines everywhere, but you kind of expect it. It's a concrete jungle going down the Jersey Turnpike, and it's getting even worse. But going through a state like Virginia, it's amazing how uncontrolled these power lines appear to be. I mean, they just pop up anywhere. I was in, I think it was North Carolina. I stopped off somewhere and I got pictures of this one, a housing cluster with these 100-foot towers right smack dab in the middle of the housing clusters. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is what happens when you have lack of planning or lack of local governance even.
That's right. And if anyone has seen the plan, there's a 2030 plan for the ISO project, which shows the future of New Hampshire's energy policy. And what it amounts to is New Hampshire is going to be a web of electric power lines, with the Northern Pass, you know, in some ways being that foot in the door to start that whole, you know, vision from to start it happening here.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And so people really need to get involved and start planning locally. What's our energy policy, for instance, in the town of Concord or in the town of Hillsborough or anywhere? Mm-hmm. What is our policy for the future? Better to set
Deerfield's
that.
Deerfield's finding this out right now, and they're the end of this line.
That's right, they are. I've spoken to some folks in Deerfield, folks who are members of the opposition, and they said, we really want to do an education process in Deerfield to let people know what this means for Deerfield and for Deerfield's future.
Exactly. Well, Gail Darrell from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, celdf.org. How do people get in touch with you again so they can get involved in their own community?
They can email me, gail@celdf.org. That's the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. They can reach me there by email, or they can give me a call, 603-269-8542, and they'll reach my office phone there.
All right. That's very good. Well, thank you very much for coming in. We look forward to chatting with you again as things continue to evolve in our local communities, because this is where I think the power may lie, because right now, looking at the way that the regulatory system is set up currently, it's all going to be out of our hands, but yet we're the ones that have to live with it. So this is about putting it back in our hands, directly in the hands of the people, as the Constitution permits us to do.
Thanks very much, Brian. It's my pleasure.
All right. Thank you, too, Gail. All right. Bulldog Live continues here on The Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. Brian@BrianTilton.com is my email address. Coming up next, we'll talk with June Branscombe from RE/MAX Omega Group with her All About Real Estate segment. Mike Whithouse joins us in the second hour from the Hippo for the Music Roundup. And we'll go into overdrive with Dan Weed from Weed Family Automotive. That and a whole lot more here on Bulldog Live. One more thing on Northern Pass before we go to our break. Dr. Campbell Campbell McLaren will be making a informational overview of the Northern Pass project in Franconia tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. That will be held at the Lafayette Regional Elementary School. That's tonight. And then in Lancaster, there's some things going on there as well about a local self-governing ordinance, and that'll be on December 7th, beginning at 6:30 there as well. So if you know people in Lancaster, you might want to check out that as well. And you can get more information about that through my website, BrianTilton.com, on the Northern Pass page. Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.